This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozell for Sunday, August 12, 2018. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozell Live in studio. Let's take your calls. Let's talk about things that have bothered you, and perhaps you've had a problem. You've tried, you've applied, you've done the same old thing. Come up with the not a lot of things that work, right? Well, call me, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. Got a lot of things on my mind today. Just got in last night from teaching down in Florida. And, you know, it's interesting, all the weather that we've had to endure lately, lumps and bumps, and, you know, just don't know where things are going. But there's a shift. And why am I talking about the weather? I mean, it's kind of, you know, unrelated to the topic. Not really, because it has a capacity to shift your emotional patterns, and it has a tendency to shift how your brain and your body works. And it also has a capacity to influence how other neurological signals, neurotransmitters and so forth, are sometimes miscommunicating. And you see people get tense and they start biting and they start barking and other things begin to show up that weren't there previously. But nevertheless, what's that got to do with the program today? Well, everything. And the topic I was teaching down in Florida this weekend was on the physiology of the intestinal tract and the different disease processes and functional capacities and so forth, but how they related to the brain and the brain signals from the gut. And, you know, we've known for a long time that the gut and the brain work together. They have this gut-brain axis, if you will. And they're influenced by many things, and the environment is one of them. And so when we're talking about gut-brain axis in its biochemical signaling, it really takes place between the things that affect the gastrointestinal tract, which can be anything from what you put in it to the emotions that you internalize, and also the environmental triggers relative to heavy pressures and so forth. Think about how you feel when the weather changes, when you get increased barometric pressure, right? Your body shifts, your brain shifts, you don't feel quite right. All of this is an interplay. It's an interconnection between what's called the microbiome of the intestinal tract and the brain itself, and how the brain, your computer, affects everything else. So exactly, it includes the intestinal good guys, the good flora, and by the way, the intestinal bad guys that shouldn't be there, and how it signals the nervous system, the central nervous system, and that's your brain, spinal cord, and 31 pairs of nerves that come out, and the 12 cranial nerves, and so forth. So just generally, what we're dealing with is this thing called the gut-brain axis. And, you know, I'm sitting here, but last night's class, and I taught between 4:30 and 7 o'clock last night, and then I immediately was out, and I went to the airport, and I was down in Orlando, grabbed a plane, and came back. And I have something in the neighborhood about 70-some doctors that are sitting there in this class. And, you know, we're talking about how all of this stuff interconnects. And there's a lot of them that are really cutting edge. They get the idea, and sometimes they speak the talk, or talk the speak, if you will, and they really don't get it. They don't understand the interconnected pathways, and which always kind of grabs me a little bit and says, wow, you know, this is something that we know that is very straightforward. But we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about how this presents itself, how it shows up with pain patterns, how it becomes physical pain, how the body has to, you know, begin to accommodate and the accommodations begin to break down. And, you know, pretty soon you have other systems that are no longer firing the way they're supposed to. We're going to talk about our old friend as well, the vagus nerve, because, you know, that wanderer, as we've said many times, is the longest nerve in your body, but it has a profound effect on all of the internal mechanisms of the body. You know, you go back to about 2016, and there was a tremendous amount of work that was being done at that point across the board in all professions on this gut-brain axis. And they did, you know, the medical profession got in, they started dealing with the, you know, animals and research and so forth. And, you know, they started saying, well, could there be a real connection here? Well, in the integrative community and guys that practicing functional medicine, we've known that for years. And, you know, they were starting to measure the levels of gut bacteria, if you will, gut flora, this microbiome, and with various psychiatric and neurological conditions. And when they added stressors like environmental shifts, the increased barometric pressures and so forth, they saw that there was a triggering mechanism that resulted in pain, in all kinds of emotional problems, depression, schizophrenic patterns, and so forth, where previously they kind of looked at it and said, well, you know, maybe, but nah, it doesn't really happen. And, but we know today that it really, you know, is consistent. And here's the other piece that's interesting. There's a relationship between gut flora and, you know, and humans is not, it's a, what they call a commensal, non-harmful coexistence of bacteria within the intestinal tract. And what that means is that if these commensal bacteria, not the ones that are good for you, they're not the ones that give you good immune response, but these commensal bacteria, if they get too high, then they override the good guys. And then subsequently, there's this whole process of imbalance, if you will, that goes on. And you start seeing fermentation problem or processes. There's a breakdown of undigested carbohydrates. That's the sugars and the carbohydrates. And that's one of the reasons that we tell our patients, don't eat so much garbage. Don't eat the fast acting carbohydrates. And, you know, so then you get these, absorption of these short chain fatty acids, things like, you know, butyrate and, propionate and so forth. And the intestinal bacteria plays a role in, producing things like vitamin B and vitamin K, and it helps metabolizing bile salts and other things of that nature. So if it's not working the way it's supposed to, this loop, this feedback loop from the intestinal tract now is going to affect the brain. And if the brain is not firing the way it's supposed to, then you end up having all kinds of what we call neurocognitive dysfunction. And that means that we can have pain, and we have pain that begins to self-perpetuate itself and start affecting other areas of the body. And then in my business, we start looking at how the nervous system itself is got this feedback loop, the acupuncture energetic system. Obviously the dietary patterns at this point are not anywhere near where they should be. So you have a host of inflammatory and autoimmune conditions that come as a result of this. So the composition of the gut, the good bacteria, the bad bacteria, the things that shouldn't be living, the funguses and molds and so forth. And by the way, remember that if you have an abnormal level of mold and fungus within the intestinal system, you're really going to react when it comes to any kind of changes in environment, particularly moisture. So when you increase moisture, that barometric energy starts going up and you feel like you can't breathe. It's affecting, it's growing them. It's making them happy. But the end product of mold and fungus is something called aldehyde. Aldehyde is an alcohol. And so you end up affecting the cellular, portions of everything in your body, because it's, you know, just like alcohol affects you, it makes you less functional. So you have all these things that are taking place, and we don't think about it. Now, there's a amino acid called tryptophan, and it's metabolized by the gastrointestinal flora, believe it or not. It just doesn't work in the brain. And when it's metabolized, it breaks down into a lot of other pieces. and has to go into different compositions, different components. If it gets stuck in different things, it can cause destructive pathways. And it depends on the gut. It depends on the intestinal tract and how this is healed. So you need tryptophan ultimately produce something called serotonin. So you, it's your feel-good juice and relaxes the body and so forth. But if it gets too high in a lot of different substances, one of them, just so you've heard it at one point, is called Indol. And that's metabolized in the liver. But what happens is that you can increase your levels of oxidative stress, means inflammatory breakdown of all kinds of tissues. You see smooth muscle problems. You see the arteries getting thick and calcified. And that all has to do with the liver's inability to break things down. And then it goes into and shunts into, you know, chronic kidney disease. Now, so how does all this connect? I know I'm giving you a lot of data today, and I'm giving, you know, I'm trying to make it as simple, but this has been on my mind when I started thinking about our patients and how we deal with them directly, because unless we look at the underlying triggering patterns that affect the nervous system, the whole body begins to be affected, if you will, and you have to stop it, because you have this intestinal microbiome, these bacterium that need to be balanced, and they have the feedback of all the neurotransmitters that they produce, about 80% of them, as I said. Neurotransmitters mean these guys that help communicate from one neurological cell to another, the brain communication pathways and so forth. And if they're not working the way they're supposed to, then you set up this whole cascade of incapacity, mental degeneration, you can't think, predispositions to cognitive dysfunction, but ultimately pain. And then it produces its own loop. And the more that you try to put the fire out with drugs and so forth, it actually makes it worse, because it further suppresses this whole mechanism, and it makes it slower. Then pretty soon it doesn't work at all. Then the inflammatory pain cycle continues to rise. And so I'm giving you the thumbnail of, you know, what I was teaching over the weekend on Friday and Saturday, and, you know, trying to get doctors to understand, obviously more intimate than what we're talking about today, but you need to understand that. You need to understand that if pain continues to trigger itself, you know, and there's these bioactive compounds that are produced in the intestinal tract, and if they're not balanced properly, you end up with a pain cycle that is continual. You know, one of the things that we do in our with our practice, we do a test, and many of you, obviously many of you are patients and listening to this program, it's called brain span, and it's one of the things that we measure the inflammatory pathways of the brain. And it actually should be done every year and on an annual basis, because it measures the prognostic health of the brain itself. It's not a diagnostic test. It's prognostic, and it can tell you whether or not you're susceptible to Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, if you're going to have other neurodegenerative or autoimmune conditions that may come about. So I want to talk about, you know, different types of pain patterns and the signaling of pain and how it triggers from the intestinal tract and how it continues to perpetuate itself. We can get into all of the different, you know, patterns of autoimmune reactions and so forth. We're going to pick a few of these, but I'd like to hear your thoughts and what's going on in your health at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Also, I want you to go to RoselleCare.com. We have a brand new website that's been put in there for you. Check it out, RoselleCare.com. That's RoselleCare.com. You'll find some videos on there, some new things about the practice, things that you can do for yourself. And as always, you can send us a note through RoselleCare.com, and one of our doctors get back to you. If you need to have somebody talk to you very quickly and answer your questions, 703-698-7117. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roselle. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Roselle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roselle live in studio, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Talking about your brain and your intestinal tract and pain. and things that happen and autoimmune dysfunctions. It's a big topic, right? We could talk about days and days of this stuff, but we're going to pick it apart just a little bit. And the important takeaway from what we're talking about today is that so much that goes on in our immune system and recurrent pain patterns and dysfunctional consideration of the nervous system really has to do with how the brain begins to misstep, if you will. And, you know, it's football season, right? And so we're back into that place where people are getting their heads banged, our children as well, and our, you know, from the little guys, the middle guys, to the guys that are in college and you know, the elite. And when that head gets hammered, you have a problem. A good friend of mine, Dr. Evan Mladenov, was with me this weekend down in Florida for this program, and he and I were both teaching. And he was teaching a program called If You Shake It, You Break It. And what that's about is head trauma and concussive problems and talking about how it builds up over a period of time and how one system begins to fail after another, ultimately to leaving people not only with inability to process thoughts properly, but the cognitive dysfunction, the inability to use tactile discrimination and handling a lot. In the information that he was presenting was, which surprised me, it was recognized but not known by so many people at that conference. And that bothers me. And, you know, somebody asked me one time, he said, why do you keep teaching the way you do? I said, because there's too many things that have to be taught over a long period of time. You know, so subsequently, you know, it's an ongoing process. But we're going to talk a little bit more about what we're doing today. Let's go to line three, I think. Lee. Are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for holding on. Our board's a little off this morning, so I'm being handed notes.
Thank you.
How can I help you, sir?
Trying to find out our grandson. We have a 20-year-old grandson who's a very active, good strength, always stayed thin all his life so far. So, but he had developed a hand-shaking problem when he's working with his hands. He's pretty skilled with his hands manually, but when he's working on some fine-tuned stuff, he tends to shake quite a bit. And we're just wondering if there was something that could be looked at. Let me ask you
a couple quick questions. Is it both hands or just one?
Both.
Okay. And how long? He's 20 years old. How long ago did it start?
I think it's been kind of coming slowly for a few years now.
Has he had any head trauma? Any blows?
I'm sorry?
Has he had any head trauma? Any blows to his head or his skull?
Not that I know of. My wife said, you know, years ago when he was very young, he had a spinal tap. She often wondered if it was, she'd heard and saw some things that related to that down in later years. But
very possible.
No, not especially that we know of.
Okay, very possible. Anything like that is invasive can cause residual problems over a period of time. So just as check marks, things like if he played any contact sports, whether it's soccer or football or things of that nature, if he had a car accident banged his head inadvertently because he was knocked down, or accumulation of small things, small traumas over a period of time, that can
right.
cause that whole system to shift. Now, going to what I was talking about today specifically, if he has an intestinal system that's not working the way it's supposed to, remember, as I said earlier in the program, that intestinal tract produces 80% of all the neurological chemical communicators from one cell
right.
to the other, right? So if that
right.
gut's not working, that can also trigger those mechanisms. And you add that to trauma, now you've got things that can predispose. So any kind of intentional, what he's got and what you're describing to me is something called an intentional tremor. And often we see it with older people that are going into Parkinson's or things of that nature, but it can happen at a young age as well. So yes, there's things that can be done. It has to be evaluated. You have to look at all the pieces relative to, was there trauma? Was there injury? Was there a superimposed biochemical imbalance? What's his diet look like? There are outside neurochemistries, there are poisons that are in our foods, there are GMO-modified foods that we're getting that will cause neurological aberrations. So you have to really look at all those pieces. Can something be done about it? If you catch it early enough, you can turn things around. but you have to look at it multidimensionally. So that
so in effect, it could be some nutritional issues as well.
It can be nutritional. Absolutely, can be nutritional. Particularly, and it can be inoculations. It can be, you know, vaccines that were done over a period of time. Listen, you can send me a note at drtomrozelle.com. You can just go to Roselle Care. Actually, that's probably easier. Go to RoselleCare.com. Send me a note. I'm happy to go back and forth with you. But this is something that you can't let sit. He's too young. It'll progress over a period of time and make things worse. We're coming up to a break. We'll be right back after some very important messages.
Dr. Tom Roselle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Roselle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roselle live in studio. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. Go to our website, RoselleCare.com. That's RoselleCare.com. That's RoselleCare.com. Check us out. Brand new renovation, if you will, to the website. I think you'll enjoy it. I think you'll like what's there. We have some videos in place, and it's always upgraded for your educational processing. We're talking about brain and endocrine types of problems today, and it's kind of a spinoff because I was teaching all weekend in Orlando, Florida, and to a group of some very, very interesting doctors that do functional medicine protocols. And I'm trying to share a little bit of that with you because it's really important that we understand how the brain works, how pain patterns come about suddenly out of nowhere, but more importantly, how we can fix them and what we can do about them. Let's go to the phones. John, how can I help you?
Hi, Dr. Roselle. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome, sir. Thank you for calling.
I have myelofibrosis, blood flash, bone marrow cancer,
right,
and was diagnosed 4 years ago. I'm currently going every 2 to 3 months, depending on my numbers, for blood work with my oncologist. I take Jakafi pills. Medicine twice a day to control the mutant cells that are causing my disease. And I also have started about 6 months ago seeing a CDC specialist, and I had a Zyto scan done. I've changed my diet 100%, I listened to your show every week, and this morning you were talking about the fungus and the mold in the stomach. Well, she talked to me about that too, and I had that occurring. And she told me sugar causes cancer, so she put me on a strict diet, which I've been on for 6 months, and no sugar, no carbs. Some carbs, of course, not very much, but. I've stopped sodas, canned food, pie, ice cream, all things.
Good.
I used to
you're in the right direction.
And so.
So what's the question?
I'm curious. Do you think? Well, I guess I'm biding time. I know that the only cure for this is a stem cell transplant. I've conferred with those doctors 4 years ago. They said I'm still relatively young. I'm 65 years old. No side effects from the medicine, but. I guess I'm biding time to see if they develop anything else or if my new diet, she seems to think that she can get me off this medicine. And
all right. So let me give you a thought process as we go through this. It's, you know, significant.
Yes,
it's an autoimmune, process. What happens is the gene gets mutated and you end up, you know, with this cancer, with this blood cancer, and it becomes chronic over a period of time. And, you know, medically, they're going to keep you on the medication, or they're going to suggest, as you did, stem cells. Stem cells growing like crazy relative to all kinds of interventions, and it's quite significant. You want to, you know, in the old days and years gone by, they're using thalidomide and other related types of drugs. There's, if I can remember it, there's one that's called the actual manufacturer's Revlimid, I think is how it's pronounced, goes in the back of my brain someplace. But anyway, and then they use hormone therapies and blood transfusions and things. That's the medical approach. You've been told correctly, in so many of these things, mold and fungus problems can cause cellular mutation within the body, causing other types of problems. So you want to, in my opinion, you want to stay away from the chemotherapeutics or radiation, the surgical situations that they often go after. They like to remove the spleen in this type of condition. Stem cell has shown a tremendous amount of merit in changing this, but it's also high risk, as you know, and it's life threatening because they got to shut your immune system down so that right. the stem cell implant, if you will, the transplant into the bone marrow can be effective. And so, as you know, it's a waiting game, but as you get older, the risk level of waiting becomes even much more significant. So if I was in your position, what would I do? So that becomes the question. So if I was in your position, I would be doing very specific nutritional interventions. You're doing some of it, and it's important that you continue doing it. No cancer of any kind can grow in an alkaline environment. So the body has to stay extremely alkaline. You've got to get rid of any of the fast-acting carbohydrates. You've got to, you know, make sure that the water you're drinking is alkaline. I would suggest organic green teas because it's alkalizing by itself. There are specific nutrient bases. The intestinal tract, the microbiome that we're talking about right now, has to be protected. It has to be balanced. So you have to know what the intimacies of that is. Low energy light laser. We're doing more and more of that across the board today. That in conjunction with acupuncture and dietary patterns and checking through the body to see if there's any kind of trauma that has triggered some of this. Often, you know, going back historically, you know, we'd have a fall or something that took place and it impacted the bone, but the bone has a memory. And if the memory continues, it continues the recidivistic action of whatever it triggered initially. So then the immune system begins to break down. There's things that can be done. It's called injury recall technique, but you have to look at all those pieces and you do it multidimensionally. So you keep, the diet's got to be effective. You check for certain nutrients. You want to get rid of the mold and fungus. There may be other imbalances within the bacteria that you may even have things that are cousins of or co-infections of Lyme patterns. And we're noticing that a lot of autoimmune reactions are being triggered by that. It's at a very low level, and then all of a sudden other things start popping up. You want to look at metals, heavy metals that have been embedded within the system years gone past. If you had any kind of cavities that were filled with silver fillings, you know, if you've had inoculations, vaccines, they all have metals in them, from aluminum to mercury and so forth. Those things can get into the system and begin to cause damage. But again, going back to, you know, stem cell, the science relative to implant has not advanced significantly. However, amniotic stem cell, which is being used for a lot of joint space problems and so forth, has been showing signs of converting and dealing with other types of conditions as well. So I would check it out. A lot of this came over from Israel and Russia. There's a lot of work that's being done on the East Coast at different institutions. Some of it came out of Harvard. Just check out amniotic stem cells. See what you find out about that. And I think that that may be a direction that you want to look at. But I would encourage you, continue with the diet, deal with the mold, use low energy light laser, acupuncture and so forth. Those things, in our experience, will bring up immune reactions within the body and strengthen your body so it doesn't begin to break down. But the complications of traditional approach to this is not something that you want to look at. I'll be happy to send you in the right direction. Go to rosellcare.com, send me a note, and I will get to it as quickly as I can and give you some other ideas. But if I was in your position, that's what I would be doing. And there's other things from biophotonics as well, which is pulling blood out of the system. They do it with a loop now. They can take it out and put it back in immediately, where they used to withdraw it almost the size of a blood transfusion bag, and then they would radiate it with an infrared spectrum and then reinfuse it back into the body. And then what happens is it's like a domino effect. It affects one cell after the other, after the other, after the other. So that's where I would go with that, John. I appreciate your phone call. Thank you so very, very, very much. Getting all kinds of interesting questions today, and it's important, you know, that we deal with it. Patricia, Let's talk to you a little bit here. This is an interesting call. How can I help you?
I'm having problems right now with, like, fluid in my ears and in my head. And sometimes in the morning I just can't get myself adjusted. And it seems like to me now, it may not be relevant, but all of this problem seems like it stemmed from April the 3rd. I had one of the new shingle shots. And on April the 14th, I think it was, I had, from the shingle shot, I had rashes, I had temperature, I had all this stuff, and I tried to tell the doctor.
And they poo-pooed it, right? They set it aside, said, not a problem.
I'm sorry?
They said they poo-pooed it. They set it aside. They said, not a problem, right?
Yes, and I had temperature, and I had rash, and I had all this stuff. Well, on April the 14th, I had atrial fibrillation.
Yep.
And I was taken, that was, and then in April the 23rd, I was at a place and I had it, and the rescue people had to take me to the hospital. But after all of this, I've had this, like, fluid in my head. Feel like
let me walk you through it. So here's what's happened, and I'm going to start out by talking about the shingle shot directly. All right, so here's the deal. Here's how the marketing works on the shingle shot. They tell you that if you've ever had chicken pox, you have the virus in your body that causes shingles, right? Everybody's heard that on television. So here's how your brain should work, but this is not how they want you to think. If you've got the shingle shot, which is the virus, that's the same virus that you have had the chickenpox with. Why would you want, if you already have the virus in, why would you want to put it in again? So now you have, and the only time that shingles show up, because your body's been fighting it, your immune system's been strong, you've triggered your own autoimmune reaction, your body's doing a great job. Now, as you get older because of injury patterns that have been ignored, or dietary patterns that are not as good, or stress patterns that keep building up, your immune system begins to drop down. So any viral pattern has an opportunity now of showing up. And so if your immune system isn't working to begin with, and you put the shingle shot, the vaccine, in your body, you already have a depleted immune system. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to show the side effects or the direct disease process of the shingles. Many patients have gone in and they've got the shingles vaccine and they break out like crazy. They get the pustular formations and the pain and so forth because of the vaccine. So it's not about getting the vaccine and putting more of the same virus in your body that you already have. It's about bringing up your immune system. But if your immune system is already weak and you put the virus in, you're going to have a problem. Same thing with flu shots, by the way. Even if they worked, and they don't work, the CDC in the last 3 years came up and said they don't work. So here's the deal. You've got yourself all the side sequelae, side consequences of taking the vaccine because your immune system's not as supportive as it should be. The problem that you're having with the fluid in your ears and your head, that feeling of pressure and pain and so forth that can come along with that, is a direct result of an inflammatory reaction to this virus that they put into your body. And everything that you had subsequent to the viral inoculation, the vaccine, the shingle shot, is a result of that. It's one of the biggest hoaxes out there. It's ridiculous. But the drug companies know that. You become the laboratory. You become the one that they're trying this stuff out. And then pretty soon they're going to say, well, you know, and what they do is they put enough money aside. So if you're going to sue them, they can pay you off and make you quiet. So you're only going to hear things like this from people like me that want to tell you the truth about what took place. So now what you have to do is you've got to bring up your immune response. You've got to begin to repair the body so they can handle this additional dose of this virus that's in your body. But a lot can be done. Call the office and, you know, either you can go in through our nutrition department, but go into, you know, I would encourage you to see one of our doctors and go through the process of handling this thing, because your immune system has crashed. That's why you have the problem with the fluid in the ears and the head, and there's other sequelae, but your immune system's not responding properly. And you shouldn't have, you know, after the fact, I'm going to say you shouldn't have had it done in the first place, but you didn't know. You don't know other than what they tell you on the commercials. And they structure the commercials so they're so enticing, they're so captivating that you feel bad if you don't do it. It's craziness, but at the end of the day, You can reverse this, but you got to do it by bringing up your immune reaction. So think about it. All those of you are listening to me right now, when your doctor says you got to have the shingle vaccine, ask them a question. Would you take it? Would you get it done? And then if they hesitate and then say yes, you know they're lying. So think about, you know, what it is, what happens, ask the question, and watch the reaction. At the end of the day, you need to support your body's immunological reaction. And, you know, when my children were small and somebody had chickenpox or measles, we sent them out to play with them. You know, so they got the bug naturally because the immune system is lifetime. And, but the bottom line is viruses maintain within the body, and the only time they're activated is when your immune system is low. Thank you, Colin. Appreciate it, Pat. I hope this, that helps for you. 888-630-9625. You know, there's so much that we can cover, and it's like so little time, right? And the problem is that you need to know. You need to be your own advocate because nobody else is going to be your advocate. You know, we're talking about, you know, we started out the program with, you know, neurocognitive function that has to be with the triggering mechanism in the intestinal tract. If the gut's not working the way it's supposed to, your brain and your immune system is not going to work. The majority, 90%, 85 to 90% of your immune system is your intestinal tract. So if you got a habit of eating a lot of fast-acting carbohydrates and sugars and foods that you know that are not good for you, and you're putting GMO-modified foods in, your intestinal system is going to get beat up. It's just going to get beat up, plain and simple. So knowing that, be proactive. You be your own advocate. You take the time to turn things around. And we're going to come back after the break, and we're going to talk about some exercises that you can do to boost your memory and, you know, kind of stall anything that may be creeping up on you. Activity and learning and capacity are kind of interrelated to each other. So when we stop doing things that we know we can do because we think that we're getting older or we're at a place where we don't have enough time in our life to do the things that, you know, are appropriate and necessary, we begin to break down. We begin to see structures and we begin to see people lose their capacity. We're coming up to that place where we got to take a short break, and we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit about this, but you can always get a hold of me or any of my doctors through RoselleCare.com. That's RoselleCare.com. Don't go away.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Roselle. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Roselle live, as you do every Sunday at 12 o'clock on the East Coast. You know, unfortunately, Redskins season's coming up, and when there's a home game, our program is going to be shifted to Saturday afternoon at 4 p.m., unfortunately, and they do that to us every fall. But hail to the Redskins, right? But we'll be here for you, and you can always get a hold of us at RoselleCare.com. That's RoselleCare.com, RoselleCare.com, and we'll get back to you. And if you need to make an appointment, you can always do it directly through the website, or you can call 703-698-7117 and tell our staff, you know, what the deal is, and they'll handle you. And when I can be involved, I'm more than happy to make sure that that takes place. Interesting program. We have a whole lot of you still online, and unfortunately, I'm not going to get to many of you, but I want to talk to you just a little bit about some of the things that you can do to keep your brain moving the way it's supposed to, regardless of your age. You know, have you ever tried to recall things and can't? Well, it's practice. You know, make a list. It could be a grocery list, right? And then turn the list over and then recall it. Put all the things that you put on the list now on a different piece of paper without looking at the list. You can do it with that anything. You can do it with numbers. You can do it with word finding. You can use anything. Oh, I'll give you one thing that we used to do with our kids. Get a tray and put about 50 items on the tray. And then cover the tray up and put in and have somebody, you know, make the tray up for you, and then have them pull the top off the, you know, the covering off the tray, and then 3 seconds is all you get, and you cover it back up, and then write down as many of the items as you possibly can remember. And then what you do is you take those items out and then you do it again. And this time it's only 2 seconds. And then you do it again. This time it's only 1 second. And you can keep challenging yourself that way. You can do it, you know, you have a husband, a wife, a roommate, or whatever. You can do these things, a partner. It doesn't make any difference. You know, it's a really cool way to trigger your memory. Learn to play music or at least learn how to sing a song. You know, nobody's going to hear you. It's in the privacy of your own house. But memorize the melody and begin to trigger your brain that way. Or just, you know, go get a keyboard or go get two sticks and make believe you're playing drums. Doing anything like that will help. Start doing math in your head. You know, two and two is four, 4 and 4 is 8, and so forth. And take it up to the place where you start struggling. And then think about it and see what you can do to trigger your math. But math is really cool. It triggers the left side of your brain. And do it as you're doing an activity. Just don't sit there. Do something. You know, or whether it's around the house or anything else. Try to taste food. Some of it is just... you know, throw food in our mouth and distinguish the flavors, the different spices that are in it. Just think about it and write them down. It stimulates the brain, believe it or not. It's amazing. Learn a language, even if it's just a dozen to two dozen, three dozen, a dozen different words, and something that's very difficult. Go learn Mandarin, you know, or, you know, go learn, you know, Swahili. It doesn't make any difference, but just a few words and begin to trigger that mechanism of learning, and you'll be surprised. Create word pictures. Visualize the spelling of a word in your head and then try to think of any other words that begin or end with the same two letters. That's a cool thing to do. Or give yourself words and then, you know, be like a thesaurus. Give yourself other words, other meanings that are similar to that. Draw a map from your memory. Think about the state of Virginia or the state of Maryland or the state of West Virginia, wherever you're listening from, and draw it and try to put the cities on the map. That stimulates the brain, believe it or not. You know, and it really works if you go someplace that you've never been before and try to do that. Challenge, you know, yourself in learning something physically that you've never done before. That's also critical. That's also important. You know, we need about 3 hours as a program, so we got to figure out a way to do that. I need your help to make that happen. Maybe if we put our brains together, we can do that. Anyway, we're coming up to the end of the program, and I'd love to talk to you for the rest of the afternoon. But unfortunately, I have to say goodbye, and we'll see you next week. Same time, same place. I love you all. Bye.